Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, your radio talk show host, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. A talk show of real people with real stories, real testimonies that will inspire you and me to moving forward into our breakthrough. So glad to have you today. Now we're going to move forward to inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough with Dr. Beverly L. Swanson.
This is Dr. Beverly, and welcoming you once more to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. Oh, I tell you, today is Veterans Day, and we are going to honor our United States veterans on the broadcast today that so diligently served our country. We want to say here from Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough, thank you. Thank you for your service, and we're going to do that by honoring you today. I want you to know that I, too, am a veteran of the United States, the Air Force, and having served 10 years of duty, both active duty and reserve, and I'm so appreciative of how our country throughout the United States is paying tribute to all veterans today. Now, we have a very special show and a very special guest. And we have right here in our studio, Major Retired Clinton F. Brown. And Major Brown is going to share some of his experiences and challenges that veterans face upon their discharge today in our country. So I tell you, we don't want to waste any time, so we're going to go ahead and get started right away. But let me tell you a little bit about him. Clinton F. Brown, Major Retired, United States Army. Major Brown finished high school at age 16. He enlisted in the Navy at age 17. Now, I know, I cannot wait to hear that story myself. Now, he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in 1986. He promoted to lieutenant in 1989, a captain in 1994, a major in the year 2000, and an honorable retirement in 2007. Now, Major Brown says, and I quote, It was a privilege to serve my country. He said it provided him skill sets for a professional life and manhood. He said that he saw the side of the world. He said working with people and all creeds and colors and nationalities. He has so much to share. So without further ado, Major Brown, are you with us in the studio?
Yes, I am. And it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you, Dr. Bev, who I also had the privilege of working with, kicking in a few doors in, as I would say, back in the day. So what do you want to know about me?
Well, first of all, we certainly did share that, and hopefully we'll have a few moments to talk about that, because I tell you, as you know, once you serve, it's hard to not serve. So, yes, it continues on beyond that. But you know what? I've got to tell you, first of all, you said you graduated from high school at age 16. You have to share how that happened.
Well, I'll put it in my mom's words. I think that it serves the best. My mom always told me that I was too smart for my own good. And moving from one part of the country to the next, moving from California to Louisiana, kind of put me ahead of the curve so far as academics were concerned. Now, I got tired of school. I said, "Mom, I want out of school. I just want out of school. I want to graduate. I want to get out." So we sat down with a few people, took a few exams, skipped one grade year, and graduated from college. I mean, graduated from high school. However, in this history or in this story, one thing I after finishing high school, I spent a semester in college, and I found out something about myself is that, yeah, I was, as my mother said, I was too smart for my own good, and I found out that I lacked the maturity to pursue a college career at that time. Well, semester of college came and went, and once again, I was tired. Not necessarily tired. I was bored. I was restless. I needed something to do. So at the young age of 17, I said, "Hey, Mom, you know, I want to join the military." And her initial response was, "No. My dad, no." I said, "Well, I need to do something because I'm not mature enough to be in college. I'm just not." So now, being that I was a military brat, i.e. Army, I had this little, how would I say, rebellious side of me, and I said, "I'm not joining the Army." So it was kind of like a toss-up between the Air Force and the Navy. So I picked the Navy, and, you know, my mom said, "Okay, I'm going to do this under a few conditions." She said, "Well, Clinton, while you're in active duty, take advantage of every educational opportunity. The day that you get off of active duty, you're re-enrolling back into a college of your choice. You will be a full-time student, and you will stay there until you get your bachelor's. And you have to make that promise, or I'm not going to sign these papers." So I made the promise. So I said, yeah, Mom. Yeah, Dad, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So then I joined the Navy, and I was there for 4 years. And I was a medic and a surgical technician. And I met a lot of wonderful people. It was a wonderful experience. It was a turning point for me because I think it was one of the best decisions I ever made. 4 years comes around.
Real quick, you go on. You know, number one, okay, I forgive you for not choosing the Air Force. And number two, wow, what insight your mother had. What amazing insight. And I tell you, if there is ever a way to become mature quickly, be in a medic field, surgical technician. How did you like that?
Oh, I loved it. Loved it. You know, and that dovetailed into so many other experiences because as a medic, I was allowed to become an LVN here in the state of California. Then, you know, continue working as a tech/surgical nurse. You know, so I always had something to do. But after my 4 years were up, I said, "Okay, all right. The Navy, the military, it taught me a lot of things about myself. You know, it showed me how far I can go if I showed some maturity, some patience." And it gave me, you know, it was the start of the building of a skill set. And that skill set is about, it provided me with a decision-making framework, you know, not just for the military, but for the rest of my life. It taught me how to envision, dream, and, you know, really to reach for that brass ring. But again, it dovetailed also into the whole like concept of being mature, you know, understanding what it is to be a man, understanding what it is to be a responsible citizen. So, I finish up with the Navy, honorably discharged. Okay, now it's back to college. I said, okay, I had enough of the military. I'm done. It's not going to, great experience. But in the front of my mind, it was, I'm done with the military. It was a great ride, great experience, met a lot of wonderful people, but I was done. In my mind, I was done.
So you thought.
What?
Or so you thought.
I thought. Well, I enrolled into the University of New Orleans, and I'm walking out of the VA office. I just filed all my to get my VA for my educational benefits going, and I'm walking out the door of the VA office, and I bump into a gentleman by the name of his name was Robert Johnson. Now he's retired, but he's a sergeant major. And he turned and looked. I said, "Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry for bumping into you." And he says, "Are you a veteran?" I go, "Yeah." He says, "Well, you look kind of young to be a veteran." I go, "Yeah, I did my 4 years, 1 month, one day." And he says, "How would you like to be an Army officer?" I go, "No, not really. I'm done with my military service for now and not interested." And he says, "Look," he says, "give me 15 minutes of your time. Here's my business card. Come back, just drop in." He says, "I'm always in my office. Just drop in." And again, he says, "Just give me 15 minutes of your time." Well, I had his business card, in my wallet, and I'm probably about halfway through the semester, and I go over to his office. It went from 15 minutes to about an hour. The following semester, I find myself contracted as an ROTC cadet with a scholarship. And getting about, back then, I guess it was about $300 a month while you're a cadet as a stipend. So 2 years after that, I'm commissioned in the Army as a second lieutenant. And it was a mind-broadening, eye-opening experience. It served as a benchmark or an opportunity for me to grow as a person. Again, going back to the idea of having an additional skill set, it provided me with a wealth of knowledge, an opportunity to put into practice what I learned. You could sum it up as, leadership, taking care of business, but most importantly, taking care of people. After I was commissioned, did 3 years of active duty, and I said, "Okay, I'm done with. I'm an Army officer now. I'm done with the military. Finally, they've given me so much." Little did I know it, this was like right at the end of '89, right going into '90. I run in my father at the time, who was working for the California Department of Corrections, had a friend who was a sergeant major in the Army, except he was on the reserve side of the house, and his name is Sergeant Major Terry Krausen. So I come home and finish my active duty tour, and my dad says, "Hey, why don't you come out and have lunch with me? I got someone who I want you to meet." And again, it's a sergeant major in the Army. He convinces me, "Oh, hey, sir, hey, Lieutenant Brown, you got almost 10 years in, and, you shouldn't let that go to waste. We need good officers, da 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 da." About 2 weeks after that, I'm now an Army reservist. I'm now a drilling U.S. Army reservist. And it was an experience coming off of active duty, going directly into the reserves. It was a it was a big change for me. Now, at the same time, I get employed by California Department of Corrections. So, but that was kind of a smooth transition for me because, as you know, in law enforcement, you have somewhat of a paramilitary structure, paramilitary culture. So that just dubbed into my skill set perfectly. Now, Dr. Bev?
I'm here listening intently, just like the audience.
Okay. Do you have any questions up to this point?
No, I do want to say this. I was listening to what you were saying. So first, you went into the Navy into surgical technician. So there you are. That led you to an LVN. So you were an LVN for the military, and then you went in law enforcement. You know, look how your life is set up to serve. Now, I have to tell you, our lives are very parallel there. I was in the military. I went into nursing. And then right after military, and then into law enforcement after that. Look, we just have to serve. That's who we are. But look how you said that it builds the skill sets for you. All of that, starting at a young age, gave you that decision-making framework. You said it gave you the ability to envision dreams and understanding what it is to be a man. This is what our young adults are looking for when they're joining at a young age. They're joining at 18. They're hoping to have that jump start on life where they can grow up, think differently, and dream dreams. But I have to ask you, because I'm wondering today, it's so different. When we enlisted, I enlisted in 1974. But do you think it's frightening for our young, our youth that are joining now at 18, especially since things are as active as they are in the Middle East? What goes through your mind when you join that early in life?
Well, looking back at my experience, you know, I wasn't worrying about whether or not if I ever had to go to war. I was looking at the idea of, you know what, I needed something bigger than myself, something I don't know if this is the correct word, but forced to be to grow up, forced to mature. I think, you know, the only difference from then and now was that when we joined back then, we were dealing with the end of the Cold War. You know, the Cold War was winding down. But now we're currently a nation at war. But that's the only difference. But the experience, whether you're on the battlefield or in garrison, the experience is going to be somewhat very similar. I'm not going to say the same, but somewhat similar. Another thing that has changed from now and then is that back then we were involved in wars that involved we knew where the battle lines were. Nowadays it's a little different. It's what we call an asymmetric war. It's an asymmetric war where warfare, the warfare is you don't have clear lines of battle. For example, look at the acts of terrorism that have been perpetrated against this nation, okay? Both domestically and non-domestically. That's the difference, I think. And information flows a whole lot faster. That's the difference. But again, the skill sets that you would receive are going to be the same.
That's which all. Is why they're maturing so quickly, even upon graduation of basic training. It's a difference in the soldiers today and the soldiers from when I went in 1974. It was 74. You're right. It was the Vietnam era. It was the end of that Cold War. So what do you think that they're going through now? Or based on what you went through when you were discharged from active duty, because you mentioned to me, you know, to me, and what you that you've traveled all over the world, and these are the things that were beneficial to you. But we're talking adjustment now. Now the discharge, the time is up, and here we are back in the United States. Now we're talking, Major Brown, those that went in at 18, now at 22, 21 or 22, they're back in the United States. Different mindset, different country, different set of rules.
Yes.
What are some of those challenges?
I think one of the main challenges is just total reintegration. You'll never lose that military mindset. It becomes a part of you. But for example, and I'll use myself as an example. When I was overseas, one of the things that I feared, and we all feared, were bombs, were IEDs. Okay, and and based on our training, the information provided, you know, the things that we looked when we were driving down the road, was we were taught to scan, to look ahead of you, but scan left to right, look in the pavement for anything that seems out of the ordinary, new road work, dead animals, because that's where the enemy would plant their IEDs. And coming back home, I still find myself today scanning from left to right and looking ahead. That's part of the, you know, that's part of, how would I say, that's part of the reintegration process. Something as simple as that, but that's one of the things that, you know, you have to learn to do. You have to learn to live as though you are back home. You have to learn to live, you know, without the guns, without, you know, someone standing over you and barking orders. but at the same time, you know, we as a nation, you know, we have to better embrace our veterans, period. You know, we have to ensure that if we're going to send a group of people off to war, we better have the resources set up ready to take care of them when they return back home. Another challenge for me was that I had to learn how to slow down and be patient. That's one of the offshoots from living a military life and transitioning back to civilian life. In the military, we don't waste time. We're constantly trying to train to standard. You know, first let's concentrate on the standard. Once you've mastered the standard, then you go above and beyond. That's something else that dovetails into civilian life. Again, mastering the basics. If you have not mastered the basics, you know, you basically can't go on to, you know, above and beyond that. For example, a perfect example would be mathematics. You know, before I can think about taking geometry or calculus, I better be able to master Algebra 1, Algebra 2.
Right.
And that's an advantage of being in the military, because, again, you're training to a standard. After you've mastered that standard, you go above and beyond. But, you know, it's like building a foundation for life. But it goes back, again, I'll harp on it, I'll sound like a broken record, mastering the standard, getting the basics down. And while you're doing all these things, you know, one thing else about the military is that we always say, you know, mission accomplishment. You know what your mission is. And anyone who served in the military, we've all been cross-trained to do something else. Like in the Navy, when I was enlisted, I was a hospital corpsman, I was a medic, surgical technician. But I also was taught how to fight fires aboard a ship. In the Army, I was a Signal Corps officer. I was taught, hey, how to communicate with the stars, whether it's set up a LAN, a WAN, it's a local area network or a wide area network, or signals off the satellite. But I was also taught to be a rifleman, I was also taught how to be a combat medic. So that being that in and of itself, you know, you know you're always taught to lend a hand to someone else.
Yes.
And we see the same thing also in our former career field of law enforcement.
Yeah.
But it's so important on managing the basics. Managing the basics, but at the same time having that strong sense of discipline. To me, I always looked at it as, you know, that's that framework. That's that decision-making framework. You know, whether if you don't have a decision-making framework, you have no vision. You know, you don't have a real good ability or an ability to analyze something. You know, looking at it from a, you know, multi different perspectives. It's just something that we need in life.
Right, and you know, it is interesting, but many that have been in the military as ourselves, they do go into law enforcement. It is, you know, and I know what you mean, still driving and looking left to right, scanning all around. I too do that. You go from the military to do that. We had to do that, you know, as undercover agents in law enforcement. And today, I still do that. And I do agree that we must have better embracement of the resources that are available within the country to help our military reintegrate back into the change of being now in society in the United States. It was challenging to slow down and be patient. Plus, I'm from back east, so you can imagine how I have to truly work on just slowing down. But the other thing is we worked as a team, and that's what we're used to. So if you're coming back into a society or an environment where people are thinking just of themselves, that's a difficult transition. What can you advise Major Brown families, you know, to help? How can families, wives, those that are in relationships with military men and women that are coming back, help them how to be patient with them in that reintegration back in the United States and now in civilian life?
Well, again, it for the families, I would say it's about patience. It's about having that spiritual connection. You know, nothing on this earth will last forever, okay? And that person that went away has endured, has went through a set of life-changing or life-altering experiences. But again, it you have to be patient, and you have to have that spirituality, whether if it's your God, whether it's a belief in some systems of beliefs, or a system of beliefs, because that allows you a sense of solace, a sense of it gives you a guide. It gives you a guide. It gives you that spiritual framework to believe in one another, to believe that this experience you will get through it. You will get through it. Again, patience. Understand that, you know, things will be a little different. Or you'll be able to do all the same things, but you might have to do them a little differently. You know, I have a few friends that are suffering from PTSD, and you know, they were both ever married, and you know, they're like family to me, and they're spouses. You know, I said, look, you know, you have to get involved in, you know, their treatment. You know, you have to understand what's going on. If you don't understand what's going on, you can't help. It's like a doctor. If a doctor doesn't understand your disease, how can he treat you? but understand where they're coming from. Understand the fact that they're coming back home, that they may understand. You'll never understand completely what they went through because you weren't there, but try your best to understand what it is they're going through. If you can understand that, it's like I wouldn't say it's a walk in the park. Maybe it's a, you know, maybe as opposed to being a walk in the park, it's maybe a 5K walk. It makes things a lot easier for everybody involved, and become involved in their rehabilitation process. You know, go with them to their appointments, go with them to their meetings, go with them, become involved in the veteran community, and you will understand. You know, that's the involvement part. That's the most, I think, the most important part, because it provides that member, that family member, that significant other, that husband, wife, sister, brother, the opportunity to understand, so that they can develop a framework to where, hey, you know, now I understand. Now we can make decisions, not I, but we. Now we can better make decisions as a family, as a unit, so that
family.
We can get through this.
Explain what PTSD is to our audience who may not know.
PTSD.
Post-traumatic
stress disorder, or you can say syndrome. It's basically you are reliving a negative experience that you had, be it in time of war, be it a traumatic event, and it's historically it's been very hard to diagnose. You know, in World War I, Korean War, Vietnam era, they used the term shell shock. But it may affect you. Let's say you were involved let's say you went to war in 2006. You may not see symptoms, or you may not know you have it, but you may not. It may be five, six, 7 years later that the symptoms may surface. You know, it can come in varying degrees. I'm not a psych person, so, but you know, based on my training, my knowledge, but it is a condition that can be treated. You know, whether you're going to go through counseling, medication, whether it's changing your environment, changing your surroundings, but
it's very real what it is that many of our veterans experience, and they just simply need help going through it. It can be challenging coming from war into a country of a land of the free. And you can't just shut off our lives of what we've experienced. It's not possible. You know, there's a few things that the major has mentioned that I feel is very important. He said patience. It's important for our veterans to be patient with themselves when they come back. Patient to allow themselves the time that it takes to come back and merge into a routine that is completely different than what they've been experiencing, what they were used to. It's also important to have a spiritual connection. We can't do anything. And all of you know who I am. You know, Dr. Beverly is a lover of the Lord. And I don't believe that you can go through any situation in any circumstance without having a connection to the God that we call our Father, who loves us. And the word says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. So you have to connect to something greater than ourselves. And who else better than the Father, the God that created us? Yeah, we've gone through life-changing and altering experiences, he said. We cannot ignore that. Knowing that gives us the step that we need to take to help get grounded. He mentioned, when we were talking about the family, and I asked him, what can you suggest? What can you suggest for families? We're excited about the men and women coming home, but you know what? There are some things that are different. And he said that to get involved with their treatment, get involved, and to have try to have an understanding of where they're coming from. He also said, join them, go with them and during their rehabilitation process. Get involved in veteran organizations or events that's going on in the community. We cannot ignore that our brothers and sisters that are coming home, those are in a relationship to them. We cannot ignore that they had a period in their lives which was life-changing and life-altering. And that means there's going to be a time period where that adjustment it is inevitable. And he said, lastly, be patient with them. Be patient with them and help them to be patient with themselves. One of the things that the major mentioned earlier, too, is he said that our country as a whole, we have to really get better in embracing our veterans when they come home. One of the things that I'm proud of is I partner with Counseling on Demand. And Counseling on Demand is an online counseling center. And they're partnered with me, knowing my passion for veterans, of course, in supplying package discounts for those veterans that are interested in having some consulting and some counseling. I'm actually one of the counselors there that specialize in that. If you look for Dr. Bev's name and picture and click it, it'll show you those different packages, and I applaud them for that. I want to thank our major. I want to thank our major, Clinton F. Brown, for coming on the air and sharing his experiences, sharing his wisdom, and sharing what he has to share from his heart to families that are embracing their loved ones coming home. And Major Brown, before the show is over, I would like you to take a minute, please, and give our veterans a word of encouragement that are coming home to the United States that have been here, that are still trying to adjust to the readjustment, and for those that are still abroad yet to come out, will you give them a word of wisdom from someone who is retired and who is a veteran today?
You know, it goes back to be prepared to slow down. Understand that it's not going to happen. You know, you're reintegrating back into society. It's not going to happen overnight. That's how it goes. Surround yourself with good people. And these good people are the people that want the best for you. Allow your spirituality to develop. If you have a church home, go back to your church home. Again, have that sense of spirituality. You know, that sense of spirituality is going to allow you to have that vision, expand your horizons, become involved in your community. Understand that, you know, your community as a whole is there to help you. But again, be patient. Take your time. And make those reconnections. Make those reconnections with all the positive things that you did in your life before you went away, before you went off to war. But come back. Those connections are going to be there. Make those reconnections. And you may have a few bumps in the road, but that's okay. That's life. But again, patience. You know, and also your family has to readjust with having you back home. So you have to show them some patience or deference. But overall, just, you know, you're back home. Do the things that you have to do to take care of yourself. And live a healthy lifestyle. that's basically that's the best thing that, based on my experiences, that's the best advice that I have. And use those VA benefits.
Ah, yes.
Those VA benefits. You know, the VA, and I never thought that I would ever use my VA benefits other than for my education. And I found out that, you know, how the VA has changed. Your treatment, be it counseling, medication management, or whatever you need, you have to go through the VA, but it doesn't have to take place in the VA. For example, Dr. Bev, you're a counselor. You know, if an individual soldier or service person wants to go to counseling, he doesn't have to have it go through the VA. He can go through the VA and say, hey, I want counseling, but I don't want it to take place in the VA. I want to go to this counselor. And that's just a recent change in the law and policies and procedures within the VA. A lot of people don't know about that.
Wow.
You know,
look at
and becoming wise to how the system and the bureaucracy of the Veterans Administration, the way it works. You know, and I didn't know
so much changed. Look at that. So much has changed. I second everything that Major Clinton F. Brown has shared with you from the wisdom and the love that he has in his heart for all of those that are serving and all of those that have served. That information is invaluable. Please use your benefits. I use the benefits as well. Use your benefits. And how awesome that you can select Dr. Beverly Swanson as your counselor. Now, listen, I mentioned counseling on demand. The link to that, you can go online to counselingondemand.com, and you can look for my name and my face and select me as your counselor. If you have any other questions or you'd like to find out more information or even know how to reach Major Brown, if there's some things that you might want to ask him, go to my website, drbeverlylswanson.com, and just leave a message there, and I will get that to him, and we'll see what he does. But we want to thank you. The Major and I to thank you for your service. Yes?
No, I'm just listening. I'm here.
Well, then say yes.
Yes.
We want to thank you for your service. We want to thank you for your service, your commitment, and your heart to serve. And I have selected this song just for you. And as it plays, let me hear on inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough honor you today. We thank you. We love you. Major Brown and I care about your future. And it's not a when you come to the beginning. A whole nother start again. It's just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today.
Yes.
But the flag still stands for freedom. And they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. But there ain't no doubt. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of